Hi guys, welcome to the Fans Only True Crime Podcast. This is our first episode and I'm your host, Callie Alexis. So for today's episode, we are going to be talking about the Hello Kitty murders. So make sure you grab a drink, a few snacks, and get cozy because it's gonna get gruesome. Also, here's a trigger warning before we start our episode. Today's episode is intended for mature audiences only because it includes talks of sexual assault, murder, torture, and includes some language. Please listen at your discretion. All right, guys, let's get started and get into the case. So I want to say this actually began like the whole like timeline around 1997. This had to do, it like took place in Sim Sha Tsu, Hong Kong, China. So in May of 1999, a young 14-year-old girl went to the police station saying she was being haunted by a spirit of a lady with no head. Like she had, She had blood running down her face and this, like, just saying that she was haunted. And, you know, cops, they don't, police don't deal with, you know, being haunted. But this girl said that she was involved in a murder of this young woman. And so it eventually the cops started taking it seriously. So beginning of the timeline, Fan Man Yi is, she was an illegal sex worker in Sim Sha Tsu and was involved in drugs, like illegal, like heavy illegal drugs, committed petty crimes in order to survive. Side note, and the reason I say this is because so she was abandoned essentially like by her family when she was a baby and was sent into the foster care system, and then, you know, she got kicked out of the foster care system when she was 16, like, to fend for herself. And like, logically, like, 16-year-olds can't, you know, take care of themselves. So it like led her to like this like crazy life path. But she also, from sources that I have like read through, videos that I've watched about the case, is that she had a son around like 1997, I want to say, is like when she like had her kid. And some say it's to a husband, but like there's no talks about a husband at all from like that many sources. So it's said that it was either to a son, like to a son, I'm so stupid, to a client or to a husband, but nobody's really that sure. So she began working in a brothel, and one of her like regular big clients was part of the triad, and the triad is like essentially like Chinese mafia, like the mob pretty much. And also, disclaimer before I continue, throughout the story, I just want to say that I am not trying to be disrespectful to anybody or the victim included in this story. This is just for educational purposes only. So anyway, let's get back into it. So she, one of her regular clients, like I said, was a member of the triad, and he was like a big deal, like a big like mafia guy. So, you know, in 1997, you know, they're doing their thing, and once they're finishing up, she stole his wallet. And so obviously like that pissed him off. And the man we're talking about is Chan Man Luck, and it really like heavily pissed him off. And, you know, he was like, well, you need to pay me back. So she ended up stealing 4,000 like Hong Kong, like Chinese dollars from him. And then she ended up paying him back, but he was added on like 10,000 extra dollars and was like, well, where's my money? And she's like, I'm going to get it to you. It's probably just going to take longer than it, you know, than I expected. So that pissed him off even more. And I think to like, I think he did this to like avoid her like running away and never paying off the money. I don't know. I'm not like standing up for this at all. I'm just saying like this is probably what was going through his mind. He was not. Yeah, I don't know. So his idea was he figured like, well, she's not going to give me the rest of my money, you know, so he got like two of his friends from the triad. It was 27-year-old Long Xing Chao, 21-year-old Long Wei Lun, and I think that's how you say the names. I'm so sorry again if I'm not saying anything correctly. But so anyway, got those two guys and they kidnapped Fan Men Yi. And they took her to a property, like an apartment where the triad like owned. And it was like dark and dingy, unfurnished, like walls are coming down. Just not a good place to be. And Chan Men Luck basically like pimped her out. Like he started a brothel of just her so she could pay off her debt. And it was like he was pimping her out to friends, people he knew, people in the triad, just, you know, trying to like get jiggy with some prostitutes. And it was, she was like the only one that just so she could pay off her debt. So now getting into the brutality of the crime, again, another warning, it does get very, very gruesome. So if you become scared or ill very easily, I would not proceed with the episode just because it does get pretty fucked up. So let's start. So night one, they pretty much like beat and raped her all night. Those three guys beat and raped her as a group until like all like hours into the morning. And they did this pretty much every day. The 14-year-old girl that I had mentioned at the beginning of the story that eventually like came to the cops. So she was 13 at the time, and she was actually Tam Man Lok's girlfriend, and her name was changed so nobody knows who she is even now. So yeah, not good at all. I know that they would like she would like participate in the crimes like whenever she was there, and the men would beat, torture and rape her like on a daily basis. They would burn like plastic and burn like onto the bottoms of her feet, burn her feet so she couldn't go anywhere. Like if she tried to escape, they would make her eat feces, like her own and of others. I know that they like would give them theirs, even like the young girl would. And they would use metal bars, kitchen utensils, bats, basically whatever they could to beat her and injure this woman. The three men would also make Fan Man Yi act excited and smile and happy, like try to make her act happy for her tortures. And if she didn't essentially like get excited, she would be beaten worse. Like if she showed anything of like, like I just can't do this, like my body can't take it, I can't take it, it ended up being so much worse than what they intended. Before long, she really couldn't perform like services as a sex worker for the quote unquote clients anymore because they weren't attracted to her after she like they had seen like she was injured so badly. They were like, well, why are we gonna do that when we can go get this on the street from somebody who's not beaten and somebody who I'm attracted to? And you know, so when Chan Men Luck basically like saw like shit, she's not going to be able to pay off her debt to me because of this is what's going to happen. And so like he just knew like she's not going to be able to settle her debt. So he basically made her like his own personal like punching bag along with these two other men. And when they weren't torturing her, they would go to a separate room in the apartment and do crystal meth, and they would play video games like she wasn't in the next room over, like she was nothing. And the group would find like uses to like for everything they like they found uses for everything they would use to hurt her, like kitchen utensils, like I said earlier, like whatever they could do. They would also take dirt, spices, urine, and etc., and smear it into her like open wounds that they had given her. And like I said earlier, they would make her, they like forced her to eat her own shit. And they would throw urine at her and like make her drink it. And after a while, she stopped reacting so much. Like she just became like numb to the torture. And that just wasn't fun for them anymore. So they hung her like in the air, like tied her wrists with electrical cords, tied her to a ceiling fan, and made it easier for them to beat the shit out of her. And on April 15th, 1998, about a month after she had been kidnapped, the group, the three men, a part of the triad, and the girlfriend decided that they were going to go to get food, leaving Fan Man Yi locked up in a bathroom at the apartment so she couldn't escape. And when they came back, the 13-year-old girlfriend went to use the restroom and found Fan Man Yi dead, just completely lifeless. And for some reason, I don't know exactly why, and I don't think anybody really knows exactly why, but her body was oozing this pus, and nobody knows why. I think it was probably like if it was anything like infections, but you know, I don't know. The group was quote unquote shocked and was freaking out because they weren't expecting her to die, and like I don't think they really like had a plan. Like I didn't think it, I don't think it clicked for them what they were gonna do. And so they figured like we have to get rid of the dead body. So Chan Man Luck decided that the best plan was going to be to cut her up into small pieces to make it hard for cops to identify her. So they cut her up, put pieces of her in the fridge. They cut off her head and they boiled like the flesh, the muscle, everything off of her bones. So it would make it like that much easier for them. And so they this is what I heard. Like some of the men were like boiling like noodles next to her head, like in a pot next to her head, and they were using the same spoon to stir her head to stir their noodles, like completely fucked up. They even like took her skull, like once it was like boiled down to a skull, and this is where I'm getting into why it's called the Hello Kitty murders. So they took it, cut open a Hello Kitty mermaid plush, stuffed her head in it and sewed it back up like it so it wouldn't be found. And the only bits of her body were that were found was her skull. Her skull was found, her organs, and those were in the fridge, and then a tooth that was on the floor. But without a full body like to identify, they couldn't, like the cops, the coroner, like all of these people could not give a cause of death. They couldn't determine one. So the girlfriend told the police everything, but the men told everyone that they were running a brothel with just Fan Man Yi and that she was a drug addict. And they tried to say she OD'd on meth while they were gone and that they were scared because she died under their care. So they hid the body, but the cops were like, that's a little suspicious. I'm not sure about that. That's a little sus. And you know, because either way, like she still died under y'all's care, but without a body to give like a cause of death, like they don't really know if they caused her murder or if they even really beat or like they can't. I mean, I believe it, but you know, the cops at the time were like, well, we can't really say they did if we don't have a body to identify or give, you know, determine a cause of death. So you know, they she dies under their care either way. And the men were and they ended up getting charged with manslaughter and life in prison without possibility of parole for 20 years. And let's keep in mind, this happened, they were arrested in 1999. So what's scary now is that these men could possibly be getting out of jail soon, like out of prison and like back on the streets. And it's said like these guys won't even talk about what they've done. Like it's that bad. Like they won't even talk about it. And you know, they were visited by psychiatrists in jail, and nobody could find any mental illness, any history of anything. And you know, just straight up sociopathic and no remorse for anything that they did. They just pieces of shit. And yeah, it's not a good thing. They're little monsters, but and the girlfriend who was 14 when she confessed to the crime was set free because she pretty much like had a plea deal with the cops, like, oh, like you gave us all this information, like even though yeah, you participated in some of the torture and the murders and the all of that stuff, we're gonna set you free because you gave us all this information. And so after, you know, the men were put in jail, whatever, people would go and visit the apartment where she died in because, you know, the young girlfriend of Chaman Lok was saying she was being haunted by the spirit of Phan Man Yi. So people thought like that meant her spirit was accessible and easy to contact. So they would try and contact her. And a lot of, as far as I know, a lot of like fucked up shit would happen in that apartment, like after she died, on top of her trying, like on top of her dying and all the, you know, murder and all of that stuff, like that's pretty like disrespectful and fucked, you know? Like, who are you to be doing that? I don't understand. So eventually in 2012, you know, the building was demolished and a hotel was built on top of that, which I still think is scary just because, like, you think, oh, because I build a new building, like, all of that's gonna go away. And I don't know. I have mixed emotions about that. But, like, it was open for a long ass time if you think about it, like, between 1999 or 1998, I'm sorry, 1998 to 2012, that's a long time. For that to still be open and like still accessible for people to go and try and contact this woman's spirit. I just, you know, whatever. So I mentioned she had a son earlier, and her son has no memory of her. Unfortunately, of his mother, you know, he was two at the time of the crime, so of course he's not gonna remember her. And yeah, so but he is now a student in Singapore and wears one of his mother's necklaces every day because the cops eventually, like, after, you know, her death, they gave him some stuff, I'm guessing. And that's what they gave him. So, and before I forget to mention also, after this case was like out in the world, the media had a field day, like extreme field day. They made two movies called I Think There's a Secret in My Soup. I think that's what it's called. And The Human Pork Chop. And that to me is just extremely disrespectful and completely like I don't give a shit type of thing. Like I don't know what the word I'm trying to think about is, but point being, it's just fucking terrible. And also, like, her, like, photos of, like, her head, like, was being photoshopped onto, like, naked women and naked anime girls. And was just this whole case is, like, 10 shades of fucked up. And I'm sorry I say fuck a lot in this episode. It's just, it's true. I'm so sorry. But it is. It's like I said, I'm not even gonna go back on what I said. It's 10 shades of fucked up. Because what, like, how could somebody like truly think like, oh, okay, like this horrible, gruesome crime and what this woman endured, let's make movies out of it. Like it's a fucking joke. And that to me is like kind of what it seems like. People just did not care. And like, I understand, like, they were probably like, let's, this can make a terrifying horror movie, but it's also like, I don't give a shit. Give me my bag. Like, you know, like, I, like, they only cared about money at that point. Like, come on, guys, be original and don't get your like success based off the torture, murder, and rape off of a woman. Like, come on, guys, do better. But that's just what it was, and it's fucking scary. And also, like, not to mention, it's also pretty scary that these guys, like, by now are gonna end up with like possibility of parole, because it's been 20 years. Like, it's been almost 20 years since the crime went down. No, I think it's been over that. Yeah, it's been like over 20 years, so they have possibility of parole, these three men. And like I said, the woman, like the 14-year-old girl who's a woman now, you know, like she's set free, even though like she participated. I just think it's all like very sus and very insane, but you know, what can you do? And I'm just, you know, I don't know what else there is to say. I think it's just a very sad, brutal, frightening case. So, but what are you gonna do? All right, you guys, that is the end of this week's Fans Only True Crime Podcast. I'm your host, Callie Alexis, and I can't thank you guys enough for listening to our very first episode talking about the Hello Kitty murders. It means so much to me, whoever listened. And, you know, whatever you can do to get a hold of me through social media, or if you're family or friends, shoot me a text and let me know whatever crimes you guys want to hear about next. Till next time, guys, stay spooky, and I'll see you guys next week. Bye!